Welcome to Risky Business News, a short podcast dedicated to the most important cybersecurity news. This is Cătălin Câmpanu and today's show is brought to you by Rumble, the asset discovery company. We start today's show with news that Roskomnadzor, Russia's telecommunications watchdog, has ordered Google to remove the Tor browser Android app from the Russian version of the Play Store, the agency said in a message posted on its official Telegram channel on Tuesday. Roskomnadzor said that the Tor browser allows users to access the Tor network, which it had previously ruled that it contains content prohibited in Russia. Yesterday's decision comes after the agency previously ordered Russian internet service providers to block access to the Tor network and its official website in December 2021. Coupled with another December 2021 decision to block access to half a dozen popular VPN services, and with recent rumors that ISPs are testing blocks of several VPN protocols at the lowest level, it's very apparent that the agency is now on a crusade to limit Russians' access to censorship-evading tools. Moving on to other news, we also learned over the weekend that the US city of Portland, Oregon lost $1.4 million to a Beck scammer last month. The attack took place after a threat actor gained access to an email account of a city employee and then used this account to trick other employees into sending city funds to his own account. In a press release last week, city officials said they identified that the city sent funds to the wrong bank account after the threat actor attempted to scam the city for a second time. In other breach-related news, AON, one of the largest providers of insurance, pension administration, and health insurance plans, disclosed a security breach last week. In a data breach notification letter sent to some of its customers, the company said that in February this year, it found out that a threat actor accessed some of its servers several times between December 2020 and February 2022. The company said the threat actor appears to have downloaded documents containing sensitive data on some of its customers. AON did not say how many customers had data exposed in the incident. In another piece of interesting news, 365 Data Centers, a major data center operator on the US East Coast, was sued last week in a class action lawsuit by several of its customers after a ransomware attack appears to have permanently destroyed some of its customers' data. The attack took place on May 14, and at the time, several customers reported losing connectivity to three of the company's data centers. Following the attack, plaintiffs in the class action lawsuit claimed they have suffered damages amounting to hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of dollars in lost revenue and profit due to the data centers being down and being unable to access their websites and web-based applications. Also in hacks and breach-related news, a cryptocurrency protocol was also exploited over the weekend. Not once, but twice. Risky Business News has invited Tal Berry, the chief technical officer and the co-founder of the Zengo cryptocurrency wallet, to walk us through the attacks.
Let's discuss the recent attacks on the Terra Mirror protocol. But before we go into the details of it, it's worth mentioning for the ones that are not following closely the crypto news that the Terra protocol itself is, of course, in dire straits as its stable coin, Terra UST, infamously depegged from the US dollar and dragged the whole ecosphere of Terra Luna currency down with it, raising $40 billion of cryptocurrency assets. Currently, Terra is trying desperately to resurrect itself by rushing to introduce a new chain under the same name and calling the original chain as Classic. And this is very much related to at least one of the attacks we are going to talk about today, on the Mirror protocol. And with this background in mind, let's talk about the Mirror protocol itself. The Mirror protocol enabled Terra users to invest in assets that mimic the behavior of external assets, such as stocks and other non-Terra cryptocurrency. To participate, the user had to lock some of their crypto fund as a collateral, and Terra validators are in charge of publishing the values of this external asset back into the network. The first exploit, which was uncovered a few days ago, but actually happened a few months ago, was due to a security hole that enabled the attackers to withdraw the same collateral multiple times, thus getting much more than they originally locked in. Using this method, the attackers were able to steal more than $90 million. The second exploit that took place just 2 days ago is directly related to the rushed Terra upgrade. The attacker deposited their collateral in the original Luna token, which is almost worthless and now is called Luna Classic. However, Terra validators on that classic chain were not updated that after the launch, the symbol of all Terra is Luna Classic, and they treated the Luna as the new Luna. And it's clear to see that if you are able to deposit something worthless, yet the system treats it as something else, you are able to get assets out of thin air because you deposit something worthless and got some assets that has some value against it. As a result, the attacker were able to steal about $2 million with this attack.
Moving on to tech news, Microsoft launched on Tuesday a new product family called Microsoft Entra. According to the company, the new Entra product family will include all of Microsoft identity and access control services, including the likes of Microsoft Active Directory, as well as two new product categories focused on decentralized identity and cloud infrastructure entitlement management, or CM. In other news from one of the tech giants, last week Google open sourced PSP, a security protocol that the company has been using internally for the past few years, and which uses cryptography to secure traffic between data center servers and different data centers. Also in tech news, we also had a very interesting report from MIT Technology. The news outlet reported that thousands of Chinese developers complained last month that Giti, a Chinese version of the GitHub platform, has started censoring open source projects that were hosted on the platform. Developers said they had project locked or hidden from view. Responding to user criticism, Giti said in a statement posted online earlier this month that, going forward, all code posted on its platform will need to be manually reviewed before being published online. The company didn't publicly confirm that it was implementing this manual review process at the request of the Chinese government, but in hindsight, only the Chinese government would have had the desire and power to force Giti to do this. In other news, Curator Lab, a Russia-based DDoS mitigation provider, disclosed on Tuesday that LureNet, a Ukraine-based internet service provider, hijacked BGP routes for several Russian companies at the start of March after Russia's invasion of Ukraine and in April. The company told Russian news outlet Vedomosti that LureNet hijacked traffic for Beeline, Megafon and MTS, free Russian telecommunications providers. Moving on to malware and cybercrime-related news, the FBI has warned US organizations about a rise in fraudulent schemes seeking donations or other financial assistance related to the crisis in Ukraine. The Bureau said that criminal actors are taking advantage of the war in Ukraine by posing as Ukrainian entities needing humanitarian aid or developing fundraising efforts, including seeking monetary and cryptocurrency donations. Interpol also reported on Monday that Nigerian law enforcement arrested three locals on charges of cybercrime. Officials said the suspects distributed the Agent Tesla remote access Trojan. Once they infected victims, the group would engage in business email compromise schemes. Their campaign primarily targeted corporate organizations such as oil and gas companies in Southeast Asia, the Middle East, and North Africa. The news of this arrest comes after last week, Interpol and Nigerian police also detained a Nigerian local suspected of being the leader of the Silver Terror BEC gang. Officials didn't say if the three suspects detained this week were part of the same gang. In our last episode on Monday, we covered the topic of a new Office Zero Day that was discovered over the weekend and which was exploited in the wild. Since our last episode, Microsoft has published official guidance on how to mitigate the Office Zero Day until a patch is officially available. While we still don't know who initially discovered and first weaponized this Zero Day, the vulnerability is also now used in attacks by a Chinese state-sponsored threat actor to act as TA413 or Keyboy, according to cybersecurity firm Proofpoint, who said on Tuesday that it discovered the Zero Day being used to target individuals in the Tibet region. A more in-depth discussion about the Zero Day is available in the main Risky Business podcast, episode 666, published earlier today. In terms of technical reports released over the past few days, we're going to highlight some of the most interesting ones. For example, Threadmicro released a report on the recent attacks targeting a remote code execution vulnerability in WSO2 servers. Checkpoint also published a technical report on XLoader, an InfoStealer malware considered the successor of the Formbook malware abandoned last year. In addition, the Walmart security team also published a technical blog post on the operations of SOC Gaulish, a cybercrime group that relies on fake software updates to infect users with malware. We also had technical deep dives into the Amadei Loader, Warzone Rat, and Mars Stealer malware. Links to all these reports can be found in our newsletter at riskybiznews.substack.com. This concludes the news section of our podcast, and now we'll hear from our sponsor at Rumble Network Discovery, who'd also like to discuss the recent Office Zero Day vulnerability.
Hi there, I'm Pierce Berry, Principal Security Researcher at Rumble Network Discovery, here today to talk about the risks of vulnerable older targets. Felina is a recently discovered zero-day vulnerability that has a very broad reach across Microsoft Word versions, going all the way back to Office 2003. While there likely aren't any valid reasons for using Office 2003 in 2022, this vuln provides pause to consider older technology still in use which lacks current security updates. Some examples of this might be a business-critical application that became abandonware over time, or equipment that is, quote, too expensive, unquote, to upgrade to a vendor-supported version, or an unused, forgotten instance that is still running on the network. Regardless of the situation, running older, unsupported software or firmware carries risks of exploitation and compromise. While upgrading to a supported version is ideal, having appropriate controls and mitigations in place can help reduce risk if upgrading is not an option. Need help staying on top of everything in your network? Visit rumble.run and start your free trial today.
This is it for today's show. You can subscribe to this podcast by going to risky.biz or to our newsletter by going to riskybiznews.substack.com.